This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome on into First Take. We are live from the eighth wonder of the world, the Caesars Superdome, getting ready for a 7:15 kickoff between the Saints and the Denver Broncos. Thursday night football, like I said. Just a few things going on today, Jeff. You know, Saints trying to snap a losing skid. Oh, Drew Brees getting inducted into the team's Hall of Fame. Oh, and your former coach that brought the only Super Bowl to town, Sean Payton, is back.
Yeah, what day is it? It's Thursday? Oh, okay.
I know, it's hard to keep track of things. We were kind of joked on the Inside Black and Gold podcast, getting ready just for broadcasting for us this week was so rushed, and I can't even imagine what players are going through, obviously.
Yeah, I mean, it was like they did walkthroughs on Monday and Tuesday, and that's kind of what we did, too. It was like you don't have time to really think about anything. You just kind of go, try to get to Thursday and survive, and then you get that mini bye, and you kind of figure out where you are at that point. But, yeah, here's a number. Here are two numbers that will tell you exactly what these two teams are, right? Last week, the Saints allowed 51 points to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, right? Last week, the Broncos lost to the Chargers in a game where there was a combined 49 points. I'm sorry, 39 points.
Yeah.
So that's kind of the game, right? The Broncos can't score. The Saints can't stop anybody. Something's going to have to give. Someone's going to have to figure that one out.
Yeah, it's amazing to think that we would think that the calling card of this Saints team was the defense. Obviously, that has not been the case recently in these matchups. But, man, oh, man, those Denver Broncos have been stout against the scoreboard, but not so much offensively. They've had issues putting points on the board, and we hope that obviously continues into tonight.
Yeah, Bo Nix, you know, 61% completions, 1,082 yards, 5 touchdowns, 5 interceptions. I think he's been better lately. Right, I think he's made some plays with his legs. He is mobile. He's a guy that the Saints are going to have to figure out how to contain a little bit. But he, you know, you've gone back to back weeks against two of who I would consider better quarterbacks in the league in terms of extending plays, scrambling, finding guys on that secondary route. You know, Pat Mahomes, I would say, is the best in the NFL.
Absolutely, hands
Baker,
down.
Baker is elite at that as well. I don't know where you'd put him relative to some of the other quarterbacks, but you know, those guys are just frustrating to play because they're always keeping their eyes downfield. They're not running. They're not taking, you know, they're not just taking the 3 yards in front of them because they see a lane. They're kind of extending and forcing you to do your job. I don't think Bo Nix is really going to do that. I think Bo Nix is either going to be in the pocket scanning the field or he's going to be trying to run. I don't anticipate that you'll see him, you know, with that secondary play a lot. So I think that works to the Saints' advantage if you can tackle. And that's kind of been the issue.
A little
for
bit
the
of
Saints.
An issue as well. We've saw that stat. Statistic.
You got it. I believe in you.
I can get it out eventually. Yeah. Of what is it? 3 straight or 4 straight games with double digit missed tackles.
It's at least 3, and I mean it depends where you look. Some people, right. There's different, you know, statistics in terms of what's a missed tackle. I usually go to Pro Football Focus. I think they had 13 against the Chiefs in Week 5 and 15 against the Bucs last week.
Yeah, I do remember seeing the number, unfortunately, kept getting higher than the last 3 or 4 games.
Yeah, and that's the frustrating thing because you hear from, you know, you talk to Joe Woods, it's like, hey, our focus this week is tackling. It's getting off the field. It's making these plays. And then you go out and you have a worse tackling day. So, I don't know, your emphasis, like, I think you have to re-emphasize how you emphasize things, right? Because clearly that emphasis didn't work. But we talked about this earlier in the week. Like, I don't know how much physically you can do to actually change that. Like, these guys know how to tackle. Willie Gay knows how to tackle. Lonte Taylor knows how to tackle. These guys, they've done it before. It's not like they've suddenly lost the ability to do that. It's about technique. It's about, you know, I think there's been a little bit of hero ball going on the last 2 weeks. Everyone's trying to make a play, and they're not doing the simple things right. Like, just the fact of, like, hey, the first guy wraps him up. The second guy is the one that punches it out. Not everyone running in trying to punch the ball. ball out, and as Chris Godwin just bounces off a couple defenders and goes 55 yards for a back-breaking touchdown in that game. Like that's the type of thing that can't happen. So, you know, I mean, a short week, maybe that helps. Maybe that's kind of like you get those, you have those kind of come-to-Jesus meetings, and everyone comes out and gets another chance to do it the right way.
Looking at our LCMC health update, Jeff. LCMC Health, 8 hospitals, 1 promise of keeping you well. And we know that injury list for the Saints, quite extensive.
It's 18 players on it.
Out for this game, though. Cesar Ruiz, Rashid Shaheed, who was just also put on injured reserve, Pete Werner, and Chris Olave. So right there with that, Jeff, obviously your top 2 wideouts out for this matchup. Also doubtful. It was surprising to see this one with Derek Carr. I don't think there's any way he ends up, you know, trying to even suit up for this game.
No, I think it's kind of just like, hey, if you know, the unthinkable happened. But, you know, I don't think he'll be active. I think he'll be inactive. But I don't know. Quarterbacks are weird. Taysom Hill's also doubtful.
That one hurts for sure. I was hoping he'd be able to come back. But that rib injury, we know it's fractures.
Yeah.
So it didn't seem likely.
No, and I don't expect him to play. I think it was more like, you know, I don't know how much of this is. But, like, I think to a certain extent, you want them to have to account for him on a short week.
So, sure, right.
You know, maybe there's some gamesmanship going
on. And Peyton knows exactly what Taysom can do. So
now I don't know if the Broncos bought it. Like, why would they? If I didn't buy it, why would they buy it? But either way, you know, Shaheed's injury is frustrating because that's going to be, you know, obviously he's on injured reserve, so he's going to be out at least 4 weeks, possibly more. And Dennis Allen told us on Friday that he was going out to California to get kind of his options assessed. Probably going to need surgery. It's a meniscus issue. I think the question is whether you need to do like a full meniscus repair or a less intensive version of that. Either way, he's going to need surgery most likely. And so, you know, that's frustrating because he's been, you know, we talk about, oh, you don't have Taysom Hill. He's such a dynamic part of your offense. Rashid Shaheed has been another dynamic part of your offense in the sense of, hey, he's the guy who can go over the top. He's the guy who can make the defense have to you know, play deeper.
Right. Because, and obviously it impacts 2 special teams.
And and he had the punt return last week, so it hits you in multiple phases. Like that's a disappointing thing to see. And not even like beyond this week, like they're gonna have to figure that out next week, the week after that. You know, they signed Jermaine Jackson from the practice squad. I think he might be your punt return guy.
Yeah,
you
makes
know,
sense.
Oh, we talked to Darren Rizzi, and he said that they're planning to do kick return kind of by committee. And we've seen, you know, they've had a lot of people kind of working in there. That's the one I'm less concerned about. Punt return, you know, it could be Mason Tipton, it could be Cedric Wilson, but you know, I think struggled a little bit in this opportunities in the preseason.
A little bit, right?
Put the ball on the ground in the preseason finale. I haven't really seen Mason Tipton get a lot of punt return work, but that's why Jermaine was here primarily, because he's kind of that in that Deontay Hardy build of, you know, just this kind of, you know, scrunched up human who can make some guys miss in space. And that's what he did at Idaho really well. So they like him in that regard. He got hurt in the preseason, so they waived him, and then they brought him back a couple weeks ago. So hopefully he can be consistent, because that's what I worry about. You worry about, like, not just, hey, you're losing that dynamic return guy, but do you start seeing mistakes? Do you start seeing those punts? And obviously Rashid had a pretty bad mistake too, so it's not like he's infallible.
Perfect, right,
there.
Yeah.
I think Darren Rizzi said, hey, you know, Devin Hester put the ball on the ground a lot too, but we don't talk about those. We talk about the returns.
Exactly.
Every good returner has a few mistakes. But so hopefully Jermaine can be consistent there. You know, hopefully you don't start losing yardage because you're making the wrong decision on whether to field something, let it roll. Hopefully you don't put the ball on the ground, and maybe he can be a plus for you in certain situations, but that's definitely a blow.
Also questionable for tonight's game, Lucas Patrick, the center slash guard. And then popping up on the injury report late, Jeff, was defensive tackle Colin Saunders dealing with a back issue. He's also questionable for this matchup.
Yeah, that's never something I like to see, someone going on the injury report on a Friday. So we'll have to see. I'm curious about Lucas because he, you know, he was limited 2 days in practice. He was questionable going into last week's game. He didn't play, dealing with a chest issue that he suffered during that game against the Chiefs. So if you can get him out there, you at least have 3 of your starting offensive linemen that you went into the season with. You're definitely going to have your backup center in one way or another. I would expect it's Connor McGovern either way. And then right guard, I would think Landon Young. But, you know, this is a Broncos team that likes to pressure.
It
likes to bring pressure.
Sure, right.
And a lot of times they like to blitz. They're actually they have the highest blitz rate in the NFL. I think it's 41.8%. So Vance Joseph is going to bring the heat. And so it's going to stress your protection. It's going to stress rookie quarterback Spencer Rattler, who didn't handle the blitz particularly well last week. So hopefully you're going to have to – I hope you have a plan for it, because it's going to happen.
Looking at – you mentioned some of the roster moves there. Jermaine Jackson gets elevated to the active roster. Also, you had Rashid Shaheed going to injured reserve. The team also elevated safety Jonathan Abram and wide receiver Equanimeous St. Brown to the active roster from the practice squad. Definitely figured we'd see EQ on this, dealing with all these injuries at wide receiver. It's just – pretty ridiculous. Now you look at the top options for Spencer Rattler, and I guess you got to look at the positive side of it and go, hey, these are the guys he was working with in training camp.
Yeah, that's the
positive
silver lining,
right?
Is your backup quarterback worked with all the backup receivers a lot. That's not what you were hoping to have to talk about positively. But yeah, no, I have high expectations for Bub Means in this game. I think he's a guy that Spencer has a lot of trust in. And when you have trust in a guy, you're going to give him opportunities. So, you know, he's going to get chances today. Someone's got to go out there and make plays, and I think he's going to be the guy who gets a lot of the opportunities. Now, Equanimeous St. Brown, the last time we saw him, he was catching a really nice touchdown pass from Spencer Rattler in the preseason finale.
So that's duplicated.
There's clearly some level of, hey, you know, there's comfort throwing to these guys. Can they get open? Right? You don't have Pat Surtain out there. He's missing the game for the Broncos, so that's a bonus for the Saints. They don't have to go against who arguably the best cornerback in the NFL. You're going to have to get something done. I don't think you got to score a ton of points to win this game, but you got to sustain some offense. You got to keep your defense off the field.
Yeah.
And you got to put up a number. I don't know what number that number has to be, but you got to put up a number.
It feels like a 21 to 23 points is kind of safe in this, but you don't know. It's Sean, obviously, back in town.
Yeah, I mean, this could end up being a field goal game, which is kind of fascinating because it's going to end up being like a replay of the kicking competition of the last two preseasons ago with Blake Griffin going against Will Lutz. It'll be kind of funny if it comes down to one guy goes 4 for 5, the other one goes 5 for 5, and it's a 15 to 12 game. I don't think that's outside of the realm of possibility. Now, that would be pretty ugly game to watch if that's the case, but that kicking matchup is going to be kind of fascinating.
Jeff, unfortunately, Cullen has sent me this news from Adam Schefter. Update: doctors wound up repairing the meniscus in Saints wide receiver Rashid Shaheed's knee today and now faces 4 to 6 month recovery time. Per source, Shaheed was placed on IR and his season is over.
Yeah, that's what you were worried about. This is kind of a snake bit feeling for the Saints at this point. Like, you already had significant injury problems before this. This is on top of the heap. It's a bummer. And, you know, you don't have Olave this week. You hope he only misses one game, so you at least have that kind of wide receiver core.
Yeah.
You hope Bub Means can go out there and get something done, because you're going to have to rely on
him. Yeah, pretty wild to think about all the injuries this team's obviously sustained so far this season. We started out so much hope and promise with those first two games.
I still have hope, Steve.
You still have hope?
Don't talk about me like I don't have hope.
I'm glad you still have it, because to me, obviously, there's all the injuries that they've been dealing with from the offensive line. There's obviously some issues with the defense as well. And you just compound this now with some weapons on offense when you're trying to put up these points. It's making things so much more difficult for a rookie quarterback, much less Derek Carr when he gets back.
Here's the thing. We can sit here. We can be all, woe is me, this injuries. You can't possibly, you know, overcome all of these problems. Go win a game. Go win a football game. And then we can talk about everything else. There's no reason you can't go out there and win this game. Right? I think the Saints are still the better team than the Broncos in this matchup. I do. I genuinely believe that. You just got to go score points. And your defense has to go out there and play the way that you know they're capable of playing. And if you can win this game, get back to 3-4, you get a 10-day window, maybe you swing a trade. A guy like Mike Williams makes a lot of sense to me.
Right.
If the Saints wanted to go out there and you wouldn't have to spend a lot to go get him, you would have 10 days to kind of get that situation sorted out and go from there. But it all comes down to, hey, go win a game. Because if you don't win this game, nothing much matters anyway, because the season's going to start to spiral at 2-5. You got to get to 3-4. I don't care how you do it.
Right.
Show some pride. Go make some tackles. You know, play clean football. The last 3 weeks, you know, we can talk about Chris Olave and Rashid Shaheed being out. Each of the last 3 weeks, you have seen a procedural penalty by one of the two of those guys in critical moments, right? Against the Falcons, it was the go-ahead touchdown drive that the Saints overcame 1st-and-20 on. Against the Chiefs, it was a 3rd-and-8 in the third quarter that you completed a pass to Mason Tipton for a first down. It got called back. You ended up punting on that drive. It was a critical drive in the third quarter. You get points, different ball game. You punt, Chiefs take it over, right? Against the Bucks, 3rd-and-7. Third quarter, it's Rashid Shaheed this time, and it's on Spencer Rattler too. He's got to understand like the timing of that motion, but you call for an illegal procedure, wipes out a first down conversion to Juwan Johnson, and instead you end up punting. The Bucks take over and start taking control of that game. So play clean football, right? Like, the injuries are not preventing you from playing clean football. You got to go out there and do it.
Obviously, the problem, though, with that, too, is you have a lot of young, unexperienced guys coming
That's
in to take fill, and fill these roles.
That is true.
We're going to take a break here on First Take. Want to hear from you as well. 504-260-1870. Also going to get into our sound bank soon. Got Spencer Rattler, Bub Means, Mason Tipton, DeMario Davis, of course, Sean Payton, and the great Drew Brees, as he'll be inducted into the team's Hall of Fame. Have a special ceremony at halftime in front of all the fans here. And there's a curious request from Drew that we'll go over.
See how that goes.
And some learning that fans are going to have to do and be on point.
We'll go over it here.
Yeah, for sure. We're going to take a break. Be right back with more. So stay tuned here on WWL's First Take. Welcome back into First Take. Getting ready for Thursday Night Football coming up 7:15 on WWL and the Odyssey app. Turn down that sound. Turn up Deuce and Hoss, their call of the game this evening at, I was about to say 10 a.m. because I'm used to saying that for the Bud Light countdown to kickoff. But it'll be 5 o'clock. The Cajun Cannon will be joining us for the Bud Light countdown to kickoff as we get ready for the game between the Denver Broncos and the Saints. We talked about Drew Brees obviously going into the team's Hall of Fame. Big night. He's going to be coming out at halftime to be celebrated by the fans. And Drew has an interesting request of the Who Dat Nation attending tonight's game. Cullen, hit it for me.
Drew Brees here. We have been able to experience some incredible things together in the Superdome over the last 18 years. But Thursday, game day, against the Broncos at halftime, we're going to do something that's never been done before. We are going to break out a chant that I know all of you know, but we are going to do it as one in the dome together. It's going to go like this. I'm going to grab that microphone. I'm going to look around, and I'm just going to say, one. You say two, win, or you, three, four, win, some more, five, six, win, for kicks, seven, eight, win, it's great, 9, 10, win, again, win, again, win, again. You know what time it is.
Listen, Drew.
You're making it very tough for us.
I'm all in when we get to win. I can say again, we're gonna have a hard time getting all the way to 10.
They have to put the board.
I think they're gonna have the video board. We're gonna need
cue
cards
and maybe the bouncing ball.
Maybe they can have like the sensations holding up the
It's gonna be me, you.
Wait, is that my turn? What?
We'll see how it goes. You know that chant. I know the chant. I've never actually taken the time to learn the chant.
You weren't in the huddle?
No, I was not. I actually never, you know, a lot of times I didn't understand what they were saying. Now it makes sense. I didn't know they were saying for kicks. I thought but we'll see how that goes. Now, I'm very excited for that halftime experience. I'm just not sure how that's going to go. Well, hopefully people have been studying. The Saints did send out a study guide for the chant with your lines and his lines. You can go find that on social media.
Put it on your phone and get ready.
Yeah. So, get in there. Get in there. It'll be really awkward if everyone's silent.
The other thing, obviously, people have been talking about this game is the fact that Sean Payton's dome coming. He's back in town. First time since he left to go to the – well, he retired from the Saints initially, then finally took that job with the Denver Broncos last year. And now this is the first time he gets to come back to New Orleans. And everyone's kind of questioned, what's the reception going to be like for Sean? Is it going to be, you know, appreciative and, you know, give him a clap? Or is it going to – you're going to get the boos raining down from the dome and just pretty much the unwelcome to Sean for end up leaving the New Orleans Saints. And Drew Brees was asked about that on Sports Talk this week. And here's what Drew said about how fans should be treating it.
The minute that man walks in the dome, everybody celebrates him. Hey, Sean, we love you. Thanks for everything that you've done for this organization, blah, blah, blah. And in the minute that game starts, man, we're trying to kick your ass.
I totally agree with that. That's how you should do it. You come in, the initial introduction, yay, thank you, Sean. We appreciate all your years of service, bringing the Super Bowl to the city, helping us be part of that rebuilding after Hurricane Katrina, all the good feels. But once that game kicks off, the ball snapped and boom, we're in action, forget about it.
Yeah, it's a weird situation because in most cases a coach leaves, he's fired, and there's going to be kind of awkwardness because that guy's mad because he got fired, or the fans are discontented with how handled things or whatever. In this case, it's like he just kind of left, and on his terms, so he can't be mad about it. But, yeah, I'm curious how the fans are going to treat it in terms of, hey, are you going to boo? Are you going to cheer? Are you going to do whatever? And then I'm curious how the Saints, like, game ops is going to treat it. Like, are they going to flash up a graphic? I think they probably should just say thank you. Like, I don't think they're going to do a full tribute video.
Like a video montage, not call for it.
And I think they actually should not, personally, but they might. Who knows? Either way, I want to get that done, like, before the anthem, right? Because I want to get that energy out of the way before the game starts. Like, it can't be, like, halftime or, you know, after the first quarter and before the second quarter, right? Like, I don't think, you know, to a certain extent, I think that could mess with Sean's energy. So I don't think there's any harm in doing it that way. Like, you're a coach. You're kind of locked in. I think he talked about this earlier in the week. Like, and Peyton Manning had this experience when he went back to Indy and they played the tribute video, like, right before kickoff, and it, like, messed with him because he was, like, in the zone to try to, you know, lock in, and instead it's like, you know, I'm happy, and I don't want to be anyway. So we'll see. It's going to be interesting, and, you know, the fascinating thing is, like, okay, so it's not just Sean. There's about a dozen players on the Broncos roster. We already mentioned Will Lutz, but, I mean, you're talking receivers. You're talking linebackers.
Tight ends.
Tight ends, right? Michael Burton's over there. Remember Michael Burton, fullback. Lil Jordan Humphrey, Adam Trautman, Lucas Kroll. Like, a lot of these guys. So maybe they want to stick it to, like the tight ends. These guys have combined for 5 catches all season, right? So if Adam Trautman goes out there and has, like, a 6th catch day with a touchdown, like 90 yards, like, that is very much a revenge game. You know, there's really nothing I expect from Sean. Although, you know, we talked to Darren Rizzi early in the week, and, you know, he says you should thank him because there will be no ambush-style punts for this game.
Right, we know that won't be happening.
Because he made sure that's no longer a thing. You have to announce before you kick an onside kick now because of the new kickoff rule. But I wouldn't be surprised at all, one iota, to see Sean try to steal a possession somewhere. Or, you know, maybe they have a trick play that's been kicking around that they haven't wanted to put on tape, but maybe this is the game you break it out in, right? That they've been practicing it, they've been working on it, they feel like it's going to work, and they're saving it for the right moment. You know, maybe this is the right moment. So I think you have to be on alert for that. Like, you have to be on alert for fakes, you have to be on alert for whatever, because we know Sean likes to get aggressive on special teams and on fourth downs and situations like that. So, you know, I would be stunned if you don't have at least one situation like that where he tries to steal a possession or, you know, you understand what I'm saying.
Yeah, Peyton was talked about this week. Is it going to be harder to block out the noise heading back into this matchup because of the time he got to spend here in New Orleans? And here's what he had to say. That's clip number 3, Cullen.
I think on a short week, you're forced to. Like, in other words, there just isn't enough time in the day. And I'm sure there'll be some emotions at some point. But more importantly, it's about our team. And, you know, because really, we go to stadiums with players that, man, this means something to me. I used to be a Chief or Charger, Raider or Eagle, you know, and to that individual, having spent time there, that matters. But I think because of the week and because of the schedule, and I haven't really had a chance to, I mean, I get it. But what's most important is finding a way to win.
Finding a way to win. That's what the Saints are definitely trying to do. But it's a good point with Sean there. It's like it kind of benefits from the short week. I don't have time to think about all the warm fuzzies, as you put it, going into this game, the place where you began your head coaching career and obviously had great success bringing a Super Bowl to the city. And during a time that, to me, stands out the most, obviously, that rebuilding of the New Orleans after a hurricane and what the team meant for a group of people that were just hurting so badly after being ravaged.
See, here's the thing, though. Like, I feel like the Saints are the team that benefits more from this being on a short week, and I'll tell you why. Because Sean can say all the nice things he wants.
Yeah.
Sean wants to come in here and embarrass the Saints.
Oh, sure.
Like, he wants to. And if you gave him – so put it in the situation of, like, hey, the Bucs came in here on 10 days rest. The Saints were on a short week, right? The Saints should be thanking their lucky stars that was not the Broncos a week earlier with 10 days rest and 10 days for Sean to come up with the game plan that's going to twist the knife as much as possible. He can't really do that on 3 days, right? There's only so much you can install. I think it's more so just like, hey, we're going to run the stuff that we know. We're going to run the stuff we're confident in. And, you know, we're going to see how things play out. And, you know, I think that's more beneficial to the Saints than it is the Broncos.
We are taking a break here on First Take. It's brought to you by Caesars Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the Saints. Want to hear from you. What you up to today? Who dat's 504-260-1870. Sound off. We'll be right back after this. Stay tuned here on WWL. Welcome on in. Back to First Take. Steve Geller and Jeff Nowak. We are inside the Caesars Superdome as we anxiously await the 7:15 kickoff between the Denver Broncos and New Orleans Saints. You're not?
I am anxious.
Oh, okay.
You're correct.
Yeah, this has been one, obviously, when the schedule came out, I think everybody kind of honed in on this matchup, obviously, because of Sean Payton being the head coach of Denver and coming back to New Orleans the first time.
When's the last time we had a night game in the Dome? I'm trying to remember. Feels like it's been a long time.
Yeah, I'm trying to think, too.
Because Monday night last year was out in Carolina. Then we had Thursday in L.A. I'd have to go back and check, but we haven't had a primetime game here in a while, it feels like. So it'll be cool. You know, I'm still kind of like, these 3 o'clock pregame shows are always kind of tough to adjust to, because I'm kind of sitting around all day like waiting, because I don't want to forget and then be like, oh no, I gotta get out of here.
I know kind of waking up and getting here for 8 a.m it just like,
it kind of starts
routine.
It starts the day and then you get the game in, you watch the night game. But yeah, we'll see. I hope the crowd is hot. I think the crowd will be hot, you know, and I think they'll be a little frustrated if things start the way they did last week. And that's the thing. Like, you watch these games and that's the frustration, is you get behind in every game and you're constantly trying to push the boulder up a hill. At least the last few weeks, right? At least since week four, it feels like that's just been the theme, is you're playing from behind all game long. That's what happened against the Falcons, what happened against the Chiefs, what happened against the Bucks. And, you know, against the Bucks, they came all the way back, and then, you know, the fourth quarter happened. But, you know, it would be nice to see them get off to a hot start. Like, if I win the toss, I'm taking the ball. I'm going down, I'm scoring. They tried to do that against the Chiefs. It didn't work out for them. But I want to get on the board first. I want to play from in front. I want to play a game on my terms. Like, that's been the frustrating thing more so than anything else, is you're playing games on the other team's terms. You're not playing games on your terms. They're not. You're not forcing them out of their comfort zone. You're getting out of your comfort zone. You're abandoning your script to play on their script. And I want the opposite to happen. I want the Saints to do what the Broncos did to the Bucks in week three, 26-7 game, like the only game that the Broncos offense looked capable.
Came alive, right.
So, yeah, we'll see how it goes. But, man, that would make things a lot easier if you're playing this game from ahead.
Checking in on our Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line here on First Take. It's 504-260-1870 if you want to chime in. I know we got Jimmy from Gretna on the line. Jimmy, you ready for tonight's game, man?
Yes, and I'm going to the game. I just got out of the, about 45 minutes ago, the Drew Brees induction ceremony. It was great. I was all dressed up. I combed my hair. I put the Axe body spray on, put the tie on. I was sitting next to a bunch of former players. Sean Payton did show up for a very brief moment. He, between the food and Drew Brees showing up, he got on the microphone and said, look, Drew Brees, I love you. Kind of paid a quick homage to Drew Brees, and he said, look, I got to go. The crowd broke out into a Who Dat chant. Sean Payton ran out the side door and was gone. He had to focus back in on the game. But it was really awesome. Saw a lot of former players. Garrett Hartley, Vilma was there, Pierre Thomas, Lance Moore. Man, they had so many players there. I can't even remember them all. But one thing that stuck out to me was Drew Brees was kind of going over stories, you know, how bad things were after Katrina, and just stories I've never heard before. We've all heard certain stories, driving around the Ninth Ward and stuff like that, but it was really cool, and he's going to be there at halftime doing that chant. I don't know how many I can't even do that chant when I'm sober. I don't know how many drunk fans are going to be able to do that whole chant when they're, like, 15 beers deep, but look, listen, I want to say one thing about Spencer Rattler. You know, I'm a big fan of his. I thought he played really well in the first game. And considering the offensive line is basically practice squad level talent, a lot of them, the wide receiver room is totally depleted. You know, we have injuries. Taysom Hill, everybody around him on offense is hurt. And he's a rookie. We have to be patient with this guy. We cannot, I mean, it's great that he's getting experience. He's going up against another rookie quarterback tonight. Like Jeff said, I'm confident tonight. We're at home. We can win this game. But I want the fans to realize we have to be patient, because Spencer Rattler is a hell of a talent. But he's also dealing with – he's going to be on the run, because that offensive line is what it is. And, you know, the wide receiving core is depleted. So we have to be patient with Rattler. We can't. I know some people are like, he didn't play that great. I thought he played really well. I think he throws a really good ball, and I thought he played a great first half last week. I want to get your take on that.
Appreciate you, Jimmy, and definitely looking forward seeing you at the Dome as well with all the Hoodads getting ready for this game. For me, I think we're going to have obviously a tight game here. I'm surprised, actually, though, Denver comes into this matchup favored by 3 points.
I mean, I'm not look at the injury report. I'm not surprised. You talk about a team
just considering their scoring, not being able to, you know, score points has been a knock on this Broncos team early on.
You're coming off a loss where you allowed 51 points, and your entire offense seems like is on IR. It feels like so. I can't. I mean, if you're a better, I mean, that's all the line is. It's who, okay. Where's the money? The money's going on the Broncos, which is not surprising to me. I agree with Spencer. The problem is, like, you got to go win this game. I think you can. Now, you're going to have to manage the blitz. That's going to be the key. And I don't think, you know, Spencer, I thought, played well in the first half. They got him outside the pocket. They rolled out. You know, they got him on the run, and he was comfortable in that setting, and you were able to get things done. The Bucs kind of took that away. They sent a lot of pressure from the edges. You know, he sent a lot of green dog pressure where, you know, Deuce has talked about this on the broadcast. Like, you have an assignment in coverage. That guy stays in a block, so you blitz, right, and you add that pressure. And they were able to do that. I think, according to Pro Football Focus, he was blitzed on 22 dropbacks. His numbers when he was blitzed were not particularly good. So you're talking about 6 for 18 for 39 yards. His touchdown came on a blitz, okay. But then he also did his interception, that first interception, I believe, and then he was sacked 3 times on blitzes. So, you know, you got to be better in those scenarios. And if you can, great. If you can't, this is going to be a long day because Vance Joseph is going to blitz you. He's going to send pressure. They send pressure at the highest rate in the NFL. They're second in sacks. They're second in QB pressures. They're third, I think, in QB knockdowns. So, you know, Rattler's going to handle that. And, you know, we saw, you know, I think there weren't as many adjustments in that game last week that you may have had if you had Derek Carr in there, just because, you know, you kind of have those built-in, you know, ideas of how you're going to handle certain things. And I think you're kind of learning everything for the first time with a young quarterback. What does he do well? What does he handle well? How does he react to certain situations? And that's the situation we're always going to be in because you're going to a rookie, right? And, you know, it could go badly, you know, and you kind of just got to live with that and understand that that's, you know, when you put a rookie in a bad situation, you set yourself up to fail. But hopefully he can do better.
Here's what Spencer Rattler had to say about what he would like to correct from game one going into this matchup.
You know, just chilling a little bit in the pocket. You know, don't try to extend too much when not needed. Listen to your feet. And then just maintaining elite focus every single rep throughout the game, no matter the score. You know, take completions and move the chains.
Makes sense. Totally there.
Yeah, and I think that's been something we've seen throughout camp. You know, one of my criticisms is, you know, at a certain point you need to kind of maintain the pocket and extend within the pocket. And it seemed like during camp, during the preseason, and a little bit last week, you saw him just try to, you know, get flustered and feel pressure when it wasn't really there and try to scramble a little too early. And those are moments where you probably need to see him be a little more patient and allow things to develop, keep your eyes downfield. And, you know, especially on a day where I don't know how much early separation you're going to get with the receiving core you have, which I don't know if we talked about it. So you're talking Bub Means, Mason Tipton, and Cedric Wilson, right? You called up Equanimeous St. Brown, Jermaine Jackson's there as well. Not exactly a lot of recognizable names in that group. I think Bub Means is going to have a really strong day. I have a good feeling about him. I don't know how the other guys are going to handle it. We haven't really seen Mason Tipton take advantage of that opportunity yet.
Hopefully an uptick for Juwan Johnson, maybe at tight end.
Yeah, I think, you know, last week was encouraging in the sense that you got the tight ends more involved. You know, there was only five targets, but 5 catches. They were your 2 leading receivers in the game. Juwan had another long catch that was wiped out on a penalty. So, you know, getting those guys involved is going to be important. You know, we talk a lot about the receivers, but these guys can catch passes too. It's part of the deal. Now, how much can you get them out into the pass game with all the pressure and trying to keep them to keep Spencer alive? I don't know, but you're right. That's going to be a big part of the game.
Another offensive weapon potentially back, but we'll get to that after the break. So stay tuned right after this on WWL's First Take. Be right back. We're back here on First Take as we get ready to send things to the Bud Light Countdown to Kickoff, which will be coming up at 5 o'clock. The big news, though, heading into this matchup now for Thursday Night Football, Adam Schefter reporting that Rashid Shaheed's season is over, will be put on season-ending injury reserve after dealing with a torn meniscus, that they are going under surgery today, out 4 to 6 months recovery time. Best wishes to Rashid Shaheed, but the Saints offense will be without him for the rest of this season and obviously tonight.